Hello and welcome to another episode of the Portable Magic Dispenser, a podcast for your school library, public library, wherever. My name is Lucas Maxwell, and I am the host of this podcast. I am the librarian here at Glenthorne Library. I've been here around 9 years, and the podcast is just something for other librarians to reach out to, and hopefully you get something out of it. I really enjoy doing it just to discuss different things and explain things that work for me and maybe don't work and things like that. So hopefully you get some use out of this. So what I've done this time is simply just saying for some things that I'd like to achieve over the next few months. And what I've done is made them as simple as I can, because I think we set ourselves up for failure sometimes, or I do, when we are trying to achieve things in the library. We may have these lofty goals throughout the year, and sometimes those things fall apart. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, because at the end of the day, we aren't saving lives on the operating table. We're trying to get kids interested in reading for fun. So not everything works, but these are the things that I'm trying to achieve and do on a more regular basis. These are little things that I feel have a big impact. These are also things that I forget to do a lot because I get wrapped up in my own head or busy or whatever. And the first one really is just saying hello to people. I've always talked about this, especially anybody who's had the pleasure of hearing me mumble my way through one of my conference talks, when I'm lucky to do those. Why I'm still asked to do those, I'm not sure. It's really a simple act of greeting students at the door, which I forget to do all the time. I usually don't do it before school. I open the library very early. I'm here about 7 a.m., and there are always 3 or 4 kids waiting to come in, and I, of course, greet them. But then by 7:45, there's 100, 110 kids in here, easy. And by 8:15, it's ridiculous. So I'm usually way too busy. But at break time, I usually have that moment. Sometimes when there's a library lesson in, I'll make sure that I get the library lesson all ready to go and wrapped up, that we're not late for break. And then the library lesson exits through another door, and then I go and just stand by the front door. And it's a simple act of when the students come in, hey, how's it going? If you can remember their names, we get about 800 visits a day, and it's impossible to remember everybody, but you can, you know, the ones you know, and just to say hello. And the other thing that I always try to do is when we come back from some kind of break, whether it's, you know, Christmas, if they celebrate that, or anything, summer, of course, Easter, whatever, if they even do that, I make a mental note not to say things like, I hope you had a great Christmas, or whatever. A, they may not even celebrate that holiday, or that event, whatever that event even means. I'm not sorry if you're offended at that at all. But if they haven't had a good break, then you standing there with some like stupid grin on your face saying, hey, I hope you had an amazing time at home, even though I don't know your home situation, is not really a smart thing to do. And so I just say, hey, it's great to see you, or welcome back. And I always say it when a library lesson comes in. I always say, it's great to see you. Welcome back to the library. I make a mental note. It's hard because it's very, I don't do small talk very well anyways, but, it's very kind of automatic to say, I hope you had a great break, or I hope your break was amazing, or whatever. Or how was your break? How was your Christmas or whatever? You know what I'm starting to talk about. Some of these kids are coming into your library because they don't feel safe anywhere else. They don't like the school. They hate school. They were like me, hated school, I didn't have a good library. I hated the librarian as well, so I didn't didn't go into the library. But I had just roamed the corridor and avoided human interaction. If they view the library as a safe place, which they should be, which you should be making it a safe place, then this could be the one place that they want to go to, that they need to go to. So that's all I'm trying to say. So that is something. It's not solving anything. It's not making massive change, but it can mean a lot to someone who maybe is having a garbage day or whatever. It could mean a lot to them, and it lets them know that, hey, somebody cares. You know, maybe they don't have someone, an adult in their life who cares. And that's really what I wanted in the school. I wanted adults to show. I know it sounds like me moaning, but I wanted adults to say, to show that they cared. And I didn't have anybody in that school that I went to that had, that even showed an inch of you know, empathy or caring in that school. So that's all. That's why I do it. The second thing is reading aloud, and I've talked about the benefits of reading aloud. Reading aloud is often viewed as something that is only done for elementary school kids or primary school kids, whatever you want to call them, ages, whatever, 4 to 10. And then when they come to, well, middle school in the US and Canada, or junior high in there, or high school here in the UK, it seems to be like that just stops. You don't do that anymore. They're too old. And that's complete garbage, of course. Reading aloud builds vocabulary, can reduce anxiety, can do has all these great benefits, which we know about. And I've talked a lot about this. Whenever I do it, I always get a positive reaction. When we were in lockdown, I used to record me reading. I got permission, as a lot of publishers just released permissions. I read a book over like YouTube, sent it to sent it to parents, and there was just something for them to do for 20 minutes. I reiterated this idea that 20 minutes a day of reading, even though it's a quote-unquote audiobook, it was kind of like a little library lesson I was doing over lockdown. Here, I'm going to read this book, and I did it. So reading aloud, I find it engaging. It just generates discussion. I do it. I try to do it on a daily basis, but I haven't in the past. I just kind of, again, I'm very lucky that the English come in with the English department comes in with library lessons. So I have like sometimes 5 lessons a day, usually like between 3 to 5 a day, and these are ages 11 to 13. And I'm trying hard to like read aloud, just promote a book. I like to do book talks. This week, I visited a lot of classrooms because the library was being used by. I like to have the well, I didn't have much choice, but the teacher trainees come in and they do like a session, and we do stuff with them sometimes. But anyway, I visited some classrooms and did some mobile book talks, and reading aloud is something that I really enjoy doing. So, and I think they enjoy it, and it's just something I really want to do. It helps in all sorts of ways. Not only is it introducing them to new books, it's doing all sorts of great things. I read aloud from When I See Blue by Lily Bailey, which I can't recommend enough. The Book of Secrets by Alex Dunn. These are books that are on our book award list, so I'm really promoting them. It's just something I want to do a lot more of. And we read aloud together, so all year nine are reading The Crossing by Manjeet Mann, which is amazing. And we read that aloud anyway, but I'm reading aloud in other lessons and younger students and stuff like that. I'm also expanding the comic book club, which I'm really excited about. I can't really express how popular this club has become in the last year. It used to be manga club after school, and for whatever reason, the after school one kind of dipped a bit, so I started to do it at lunchtime, and it's really popular. We sometimes play games, we do quizzes. The quiz thing is huge. It's a very laid-back atmosphere. I kind of feel like their day is very hectic enough. Therefore, I want it something that they can do to relax and win prizes and things like that. So I had a huge, like, 50-question manga quiz the other day, and it was packed in here, and I gave some prizes out. I had some How to Draw Manga books by an amazing artist named Sonia Leong, who was very cool to come to the school and do some virtual manga visits a few years back. And I'm going to have her in again, hopefully, for our Comic-Con, which was amazing, which will be amazing, hopefully. So that's the one thing I want to do and expand it. So essentially, I blocked off enough tables for like 15 kids, and we have probably 30, 40 kids sometimes come in for it. And they just draw games. I've got a whole list of games. I can give you the link for that. And the comic book club is something I can't stress enough, because comics are huge now, and I just put them on display. I created a simple, very simple, I found some copyright-free images that just do like the bam, pow, zap, which you can find on Google Images or Pixabay, which I recommend using. And I made a display, like, it just says, comics you must read. And I've never seen a more popular display, really. It's, the comics go like crazy. Comic book club comes in, they do drawings, they do little Pictionary games, they do all sorts of different games, and we do little crafts, everything, as I've said. So that is something that I'm going to be doing. I'm going to continue the Comic-Con, which I do on a Saturday, and that leads into my next point, which is a Dungeons & Dragons convention, which I've talked about before, but I've gotten some more. I put some feelers out there, as, of course, and it's just been huge feedback, huge response from the students, and I've got staff coming as well. So I've got some teacher dungeon masters, one of them being a media teacher who is really cool. I've played D&D with her in, you know, with adults in the past, and is a really cool person. And the rest are going to be student dungeon masters. And what I've got is a one-shot adventure. So an adventure that should take 4 hours, in theory, but they sometimes never do. An adventure that should take 4 hours. And therefore, I'll have five groups of six students, and then five dungeon masters, myself included. And we're all going to do the same one-shot adventure at the same time. Anybody who comes in will get their name put in a draw to win a set of dice and I've received a starter set, the Dragons of Stormwreck Isle. I received that as a gift for because I do a podcast, a D&D podcast with some amazing authors, Alex Dunn, Alex Fowkes, Grania O'Brien. We had Dave Rudden for a while, special guest, Dave Rudden. Amazing authors. And we do this really cool podcast called You Should Have Been a Meat Shield. And it's, it's been a lot of fun. So they are amazing people, and I look forward to playing D&D with them every week. And this is, we received... someone who listened to it worked for Wizards of the Coast, and they sent us this cool starter set for free, and I'm going to give that away. I didn't know what to do with it. We couldn't split it four ways, so we're going to give it away to one of the students. So that's a cool prize, and I think everyone who comes is going to get a free D20 dice as well. So then we're going to do the one shot, and we're going to have a big D&D quiz with some more prizes. I've got some D&D like annuals to give away. And snacks, music. It's going to be 10 to 2 p.m. on a Saturday. Yes, it is me giving up my Saturday. I get asked that every once in a while. Do you get paid to do that? And so the answer is absolutely not. When I was a kid, if I had this happening, I would be all over it. And again, that never happened. So it's just something I really want to do. And the Comic-Con is another thing related to the comic book club, of course, and that's also on a Saturday. I did a whole podcast on running a Comic-Con. I've written articles for it for Book Riot and stuff like that. Again, it's 10 to 2. It's a really fun event. We have comic book games, drawing. I hire like a badge or button maker. I get a guest illustrator. That's usually the big event. And again, I'm trying to get Sonia Leong in or someone else like that who does illustrates manga and does a workshop. And I think it would just be a lot of fun. And that will be it, really. And that goes by in a blur and is a lot of fun, and the kids really enjoy it. So those are two things there. And the last thing, of course, is to read more. You've all heard this stereotype. Maybe not the last thing. I might have another thing in the end. I want to read more this year. I completely failed my reading goal, which you should never set reading goals, in my opinion, but I did. And completely tanked that, and because I was too busy, and made myself too busy doing other things. So I am obviously love reading, but I have tried really hard to make sure I'm reading half an hour every night at least. As exhausted as I get, I want to do that. So that's what I'll be doing. And I'm reading, I just finished Maggie Blue and the White Crow by Anna Goodall. You should read that. Everybody should read Maggie Blue and the Dark World and then read The White Crow, because they are two amazing books. And if you like fantasy, if you like adventure, if you like dark magic, if you like Studio Ghibli world, that's kind of what it evokes for me. And I love that book and love The White Crow. So you can check that out. And I need a new book now. I'm reading... I read this comic book. I forget the author, but it's called Goblin. But it's a Dark Horse comic. It's about a goblin whose parents get murdered, and he vows revenge, and he's going on a series of quests. It's very much like D&D. And I read Unseelie, which is a book. Again, forget the author, but it's a YA. Two sisters who are thieves, and it's very D&D-esque. They get on a quest and adventure for this lost treasure. So I have been reading quite a bit, and what I'm doing is, like, after I read aloud to the students, I'm reading book with the students, because you should model the behavior that you want to see. So I'm sitting there modeling the behavior I want. I want them to see me read, and I want to read. So that is something I'm trying really hard to do. And that really does lead into the next thing, which is, I made a little shelf. I was lucky to get a new shelf. It's very, very small. And I didn't know what to do with it. It's like a standalone shelf next to the pillar. I'll be 100% honest. I forgot that I ordered it. I ordered it so long ago. And it arrived. It's not very big, but I knew I had like a little space. And I'm running out of shelf space, to be perfectly honest. So I was like, what do I do with that? It can be like something I change up. And I think that's what it's going to be. And it started out with what I've read, basically, or what I've enjoyed, what I recommend. And I'm going to change it up. I don't want to just be me. I feel like that's, like, I don't know, pompous for some reason. But it just says Mr. Maxwell recommends at the moment. And it's those books I just talked about. I mean, Rules for Vampires by Alex Fowkes, amazing series. The Book of Secrets, and I talk about those books all the time. And I've got them on the shelf, and they move. It's like, the students want to see what the teachers are reading. So all teachers have a thing on their door that says Mr. Maxwell is reading this and that or whatever, or Mrs. So-and-so is reading this. And I think a bookshelf that says that and actually has the books, physical books on it, is quite a bit more powerful, a bit more effective, rather than just a sheet. So I'm happy to have that. I read the new, when I was a kid, there was this book called Bunnicula. Loved it. And there's a new graphic novel out. I read that, and I've been promoting that like crazy. There's a great book about an autistic student called Speak Up. Again, I can't remember any of these authors, but it's a comic book. Have that on there. That flew off in a second. It's about an autistic girl who struggles with many things that I connect with as well. And she has this kind of alter ego that is a popular singer at her school. She uploads these videos with a friend, and it's all top secret. Nobody knows who the real person is. It's a fake name she uses, kind of like hides her identity. And the problem is that she becomes so popular that the friend wants to do a talent show and, you know, show off their skills, and she doesn't want to because it would mean that they would know who she really was, and she'd stand up in front of a real audience and things like that. So it has this kind of like challenges to it, that kind of thing. So it's really good. It's called Speak Up, and it's Rebecca somebody. God, sorry. Those are the things that I'm doing. I mean, comic books and manga, book borrowing has never been higher. I will say that. I won't say numbers or anything like that. I don't know. I'm trying not to brag about numbers, even though I don't know if it's bragging. It's just, I don't like it when I see some libraries that have these numbers. It's like, wow, and I wish I could get to that. But it makes you feel a bit, if your numbers aren't that high, I don't think that means, you know, I don't know. I just think for this school, the numbers are really good, but you compare yourself to another school, and it's like, oh, I wouldn't even come close to that. So they are borrowing a ton of books, I'll just say that, but the comics and manga are what they are ridiculously crazy about. So I might try to do like a manga guide on the ones that are popular, not popular, etc. But I can't recommend getting those comics in enough. Another one is called Cat Story. I would really recommend that one as a comic. There's a new Anna Green Gables set in Philadelphia. Anne of West Philly, is that what it's called? Oh, I should have these in front of me, but I'm just thinking off the top of my head. These comics, High-Low, the High-Low series by Judd Winnick. There we go. Look, you remembered a name. Judd Winnick. I think there's 8 or 9, and I got the 8th one just in and gave it to a student who literally clapped their hands together when they saw it. They couldn't believe. They were so excited. So that one, and there's another one. It's like a manga style, but it doesn't read the other way like a manga. It's called Hooky, H-O-O-K-Y. No idea the author. There's 2 volumes. It's like, I think it's a brother and sister. I read the first one. I haven't read the second one. And they just get into these wild adventures. Again, very much Howl's Moving Castle, you know, film. Happened to be watching that just now, Howl's Moving Castle again. So it's very much like that. But 2 siblings who just can't stop getting themselves into these disasters. it's funny and it's strange and it's cool. It should be made into a film if it isn't already, in my opinion. They're quite thick and they're hardback, so keep that in mind. But it's called Hooky. And again, amazing novels that the students can't get enough of. One of our most popular manga that I would recommend to ages 11 up, if you're concerned about age range, which you should be with manga, is called Witch Hat. Witch Hat Atelier? Oh, man. Did I get it wrong? I don't know the author either. But Witch Hat. Just look that up. A-T-E-L-I-E-R. Atelier. I can't pronounce things. I struggle with reading, and yeah, I do struggle with reading reading some things. So Witch Hat, get that series. I don't know how many are in the series. We have the first 5, I want to say, and it is super popular, and it's just one that stood out to me that they really like and is really popular. And the Legend of Zelda ones are huge. Pokemon ones are huge. All good for 10 plus. The Splatoon ones are great. And huge manga. Whether they're actually, you know, official manga, I don't know. But they're obviously based on the Nintendo game. So that's a bit interesting. But they are popular here. And yeah, I mean, talking about these things, getting them visually out front is another thing. I'm very lucky that we've been able to double the size for our comic books, double the space size. 100% aware that not everybody can do this, but putting face out comics has made a massive difference, and manga. Putting them face out, they are huge because they do get intimidated. I did have a student on Friday just yesterday tell me I can't make a choice. There's too many because we have a lot of books. I won't say how many, but we have a lot of books. And it is overwhelming. I can understand that. So that's why the librarian's there to guide them. But if you're able to get anything face out, really recommend it. That's it. That was a bit of a rambling one, but those are the things that I'm trying to achieve this year. I hope that was helpful. I will be back on another date to do another one. I hope that's cool and I hope everyone's okay. Take it easy. I'll talk to you later.